Your Steve Jones Show podcast will start shortly. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Brewers Outlet, your beverage supermarket on Reagan Street in Sunbury. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Welcome back. Final hour of the show for the year. Today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Stock up for the games. Go to Brewers Outlet. Stock up for New Year's Eve. You don't want to show up empty-handed. You also want to make sure that you are fully stocked for people coming over to see you. Imports, domestics, microbrews, the best selection of beer anywhere. Wine coolers, water, soft drink, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and out every day. And six great flavors of slushies. And all together now. All right? They're in Sealands Grove. Join me. The Pickle Bar, led by the Barrels and Dills. Indeed, second to none. It's all at Brewers Outlet. Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. And we are in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. All right, let's get to our play-by-play call of the day. Let's close out 2021 with a slam dunk.
Jaren drives on Metu, hangs, overlays, and a shot clock violation, but they play on. It'll be a Fox jam.
And then he's like, I'm going to go get a block at the rim. No, I'm not. No, De'Aaron Fox still has the bounce in those legs.
Oh, he sure does. And that's our play-by-play call of the day. And with that, we bring in the outstanding Rich Scarcella from the Reading Eagle. Sir, it is always a pleasure. Welcome back.
Same to you, Steve, and your family. Glad to be with you.
Okay. It's been an interesting time. Some people staying. So we'll start staff. Some people staying. Some people, of course, Brent Pry left. Manny Diaz comes in. Anthony Poindexter is staying. What have you thought about the staff, for the most part, staying stable, but also the addition of Manny Diaz?
Well, let's talk about the stability, Steve. I think that's really important. I thought there might be a change or two. I did not anticipate Brent Pry leaving, but to become a head coach at a place like Virginia Tech, where he was the GA at the age of 51, he had to take it. Mm-hmm. And I wish him the best. He's a good guy, and always treated me fairly, very cooperative. I like to find a person with the resume of a Manny Diaz in this hectic world of college football with coaching moves, it seems like every hour, I think is very, very important and a win for James Franklin. If you look at Manny Diaz's resume in his 13 years, his previous years as a defensive coordinator, he has an impressive track record. I think it helps that he has had coaching experience, and I also think it helps from a recruiting perspective that he has a lot of connections in Florida. So I think that's a win for sure. I think it's also a win that Anthony Poindexter, no matter the circumstances, mm-hmm. At Virginia, whether or not they turned him down or he turned them down, whatever, it doesn't matter. Anthony Poindexter is on the Penn State staff, and that's a good thing. I think when you talk to players such as Jair Brown and Jaquan Brisker, they pretty much gush about the impact that Poindexter has had on them. So that's where I'll leave it there. And honestly, Steve, like with everything, you look around the college football landscape and there's just coaching moves left and right. And to have this is if there are no more coaching moves before next season, I think the Penn State staff remained pretty stable.
Yeah. I felt with Brent Pry that every year he stayed here, you were delaying the inevitable.
Mm-hmm.
And the inevitable happened. And I thought then they reacted with Manny Diaz. So I want to flip it to the other side of the ball.
Sure.
What do you think it means to Sean Clifford that he'll finally have the same offensive coordinator for a second consecutive year?
Well, I don't have to think of anything because Sean Clifford said it last Friday. He mentioned it without being prompted, how important it is for him to have a second year with Mike Yurcich, but really second year with the same offensive coordinator and quarterbacks coach. You know, much was written last year in January when the move was made that Sean was going to be playing for his fourth OC and quarterbacks coach in 5 years, which is almost hard to believe. And I think he views this as a big positive. And I think Mike Yurcich does as well. He had a lot of nice things to say about Sean last Friday during the virtual Outback Bowl Media Day. And I think it'll help Sean. And the thing, Steve, and I've said this probably on your show before, fans are fans, but I'm still surprised by the response that Sean's decision to return got from the people that I talked to. And I'm like, wait, do you know what you're talking about? Like, first of all, there's 100 reasons, but let's start. He's a tremendous leader. He's highly regarded and respected within that locker room. That's just for starters. Look at his performance the second half of the season when he played through an injury. Look at next year's schedule, the first six games, opening at Purdue, playing at Michigan, playing at Auburn, home against Ohio State. I think you'd be, not you, somebody would be asking too much of a true freshman or a Christian Veau to be the quarterback for those six games. Sean has seen almost everything. He has the experience. I think he is the best choice to be that quarterback. And I wasn't surprised either about his decision, but no. I'm glad for him.
Right. No, I've found the reaction to be honest, comical. Thinking, how much do you know? There's the cynic in me says, how much do you know about football? Okay, I've watched every rookie quarterback of the NFL. And Mac Jones to a point really struggle. Bryce Young was a redshirt freshman. He learned from being around Mac Jones. Okay, Stroud learned from being around Fields. We go through the long list of people. These are not true freshmen out there excelling out there. These are guys that learned under somebody else first, Rich.
Yeah, I'm with you, Steve. I mean, even before Sean announced his decision, a couple of us who cover the team were saying, like, hey, I don't know how this will happen, but if I'm James Franklin, I'm doing cartwheels if Sean Clifford decides to come back. And I'm sure it sounded like he was very pleased that he came back.
Well, I'll go back to a talk show earlier in the season, the coaches show on Thursday night, and someone asked, and this is back in September, and someone asked James about replacing Sean once he leaves. And James quickly said, he says, let's not replace him yet. He can play next year. Keep that in mind.
Mm-hmm.
So believe me. He was very happy getting back.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and that's not knocking Christian Veau.
No.
Or the two incoming freshmen. I was impressed with Christian against Rutgers. I thought he had a tremendous poise.
Yep.
And everything we hear about Drew Allar and Bo Prabula is great. But, they're also going to be in their first year. Playing basically, so I think that's a rough first six games, and to have somebody as experienced as Sean and as poised as Sean, I think is a plus.
Is this the last game of 21, or is it the first game of 22 on New Year's Day?
That's always a great question when it comes to bowl games. I think half and half. It's not really.
I agree.
In one sense, it is because of Ellis Brooks and Brandon Smith deciding to leave and not play in the bowl game. You're going to have new linebackers, so it's really the start of 22 for them. you're trying. I always think a bowl win gives you a little hop in your step, a little jump in your step.
Yep.
During winter workouts. I don't think it necessarily translates into tremendous success in the fall, but I think it carries a team through winter workouts and spring ball. So, in that regard, it's 2022. But at the same time, I'm sure Penn State players, including Sean Clifford, would love to win and beat a second SEC team to cap this season. So I'll go half and half on that.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. I think that's the right way to look at it in terms of in that regard. There are opt-outs, obviously, across the board. I thought James Franklin said something really interesting last week. Because, I mean, everybody knows that listens to this show. Since a year ago, not when it was proposed, but a year ago, I was talking about a 12-team playoff as a possibility. And now I'm thinking maybe 16, because I thought he said something interesting. He said, go big. Because I think go big does two things. It prevents opt-outs. And two, here's another part. If you want to appeal to the academic world, it also keeps guys academically eligible who are not like, yeah, okay, I'm going pro, I'm out of here. I think it does both if more teams in the playoff.
I have always been in favor of, at the very, very least, an 18 playoff. And I think Joe Paterno talked about that a long, long time ago, mm-hmm. about an 18 playoff. I agree with James. I think if you have a 16-team playoff, while it will hurt, obviously, some bowls, I think there will be several others who will be helped by it.
Mm-hmm.
And you're right, there will be fewer opt-outs. It doesn't eliminate the opt-outs, but there will be fewer. And I think it's a bigger issue, too, Steve, as James has talked about. If you don't make the playoffs, it's like your season was a waste.
Right.
And that shouldn't be. You know, it shouldn't be. It should be, like, if you look at the NCAA basketball tournament, you know, if you reach a regional final, it's a big deal.
Yep.
And it's considered a big deal. You're one of the final eight teams in the country.
Yep.
Think about it. And then, you know, if you're in the final four, oh, my gosh, you know, there are schools that celebrate that and without winning the national championship. So I wouldn't mind seeing 16. If they do incorporate a 16-team playoff, I'd like to see one less game in the regular season. That's mm-hmm. that for the health and safety reasons of the players, because I don't like 17 NFL games either. But we could talk right. about that another time.
No, I realize what you're saying. That's why I would, if I would keep it at 12, I would start a week earlier and incorporate a second bye week in the regular season.
Yeah, that would be good. That would be a plus. Sure.
Yeah, and I just think. I was listening to somebody the other day, and they said, what's the odds of 16 beating 1? Right? I mean, they were trying to poo-poo the idea of it. So what are the odds of 68 beating 1 in yeah. the NCAA basketball tournament? You guys were all filling out your brackets. Last time I saw it, at some point, UMBC beat Virginia.
Yeah.
I mean, so I hear I always hear arguments against all the time, and I'm starting to tune it all out because it's just excuses.
Well, I think a 16-team playoff would increase interest in the game of
Ooh,
football.
Yes.
Even though it's at such a high level now.
Yes.
I think it would absolutely, and we're not even talking about the main thing. It would increase revenue.
No doubt.
Potentially, by without a question. So, yeah, I don't know how soon it's going to expand. It's pretty obvious that mm-hmm. it's going to be more than four teams. When that is and how many teams it is, that remains to be seen.
Right, exactly. I do have to ask you about your pack. They're going to play on Christmas Day.
Mm-hmm.
They got the Browns. They're 11-3, and I believe right now Rodgers is tied with Favre for the all-time record for Packer touchdown passes.
Mm-hmm.
So how well are they playing right now, in your opinion?
I think they have room to grow. I've seen a lot of games this year. For some reason, I've only missed probably, I don't have the Sunday ticket, but I've seen a lot. And, yeah, I mean, they won last week, and a lot of people, I saw even people who have covered pro football, which surprised me. The Packers' defense looks terrible against the Ravens. Well, yeah, they were missing their best defensive lineman, Kenny Clark, who's out with COVID.
Mm-hmm.
And they still don't have Za'Darius Smith. Rashawn Gary is playing hurt, and he's playing well. And they don't. Jair Alexander isn't back yet. So these are all, I think Kenny Clark, the last I've heard, it looks like he's going to play Saturday. But these other guys, they're coming back. That's defense. Look at the offensive line where you have four guys who started the season as starters are out.
Right.
Or no, I shouldn't say that. Four guys who you hoped would be the starters are out. David Bakhtiari didn't start the season as a starter.
Right.
He had a torn ACL last year, but he's on the verge of coming back. You know, and they've played well with some of these guys that they've picked up really off the scrap heap. So I think there's room to grow here. You know, I love the fact that they run the ball, and they run it. They have two backs who really complement each other in Aaron Jones and A.J. Dillon. So, I mean, I'm if you would have asked me in September, would I think they'd be 11-3 at this point? No. But the quarterback is playing really, really well, despite his broken pinky toe, the much-discussed broken pinky toe, and could end up winning another MVP award. We'll see. I mean, you know, 30 touchdown passes and four interceptions is pretty outstanding. And the other thing is, I watch their post-game interviews a lot, and he is extremely content with this group of guys and being with Green Bay. And honestly, I think even he would admit the job that the front office has done, Brian Gutekunst putting this team together and picking up pieces over the last 9 to 10 months.
Yeah, no, I think, yes. I think, number one, they've been well coached. Number two, Gutekunst has done a great job of bringing in parts that they need. I think, you know, I don't think he has many complaints with what he has right now. And that's a big part of it. So,
yeah.
You watch him play. Do you think that, I don't think there's any quarterback I watch out that plays that's more comfortable back there than he is, except, you know, obviously Brady's very comfortable with what he does, but they're the only two.
The one throw he made over the middle, I can't remember if it was Lazard or Valdez-Scantling last week. I mean, the window on that was about 2 feet, maybe 3 feet, and he put it, and even he made it said after the game, because I haven't made a throw like that in a while. And it was like, I couldn't believe the accuracy. But I do want to say this, because you did mention this. I get really annoyed when I hear the talking heads on the national media outlets say Matt LaFleur's not doing a good job. He's just riding the coattails of Rodgers.
No.
You're not watching the game, or you don't. You're choosing not to watch what's going on and what that he's been dealing with. How about all the off-season stuff with Rodgers? How he handled it? He didn't open his mouth. He didn't say anything stupid. And from a schematic point of view, I mean, their offense, they come up with these design plays. I mean, it just looks so fresh. And he made the decision to change defensive coordinators, and Joe Barry has done a really, really good job.
Mm-hmm.
I think Matt LaFleur is, I couldn't be happier with the, as a fan, I couldn't be happier with the coach of my team.
Agreed. Hey, happy holidays to you and your family. You'll be in Tampa, I assume?
I will be, and I will see you down there. When are you getting there?
Scheduled to be there the morning of the 30th, because I'm scheduled to do a basketball game on Wednesday night, so I'll go down Thursday morning.
Okay. I will see you sometime down there.
That sounds great, my friend. Thank
Merry
you so much. Rich Scarsella, Reading Eagle, coming up in the final half hour. Nate Bauer on 3.com. We're so thankful for all of our guests because they all take time out of their day. We're not paying them to be on. They just give us their time.
How often do you hear Rich and Donnie and Frank and now Nate? I mean, you hear them on the show all the time. They're always giving you their time to make the show better. All the time. Awesome guests. Today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. And we're in the mobile Sunbury Motors studio, Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Humble's Wharf, here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
All right, final half hour of 2021 on the show. Great to have you with us today. Brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket, imports, domestics, microbrews, the best selection of beer anywhere, wine coolers, water, soft drink, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day. Six great flavors of slushies. And the pickle bar led by the barrels and the dills. Everybody in Sunbury now. Indeed, second to none. All at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Can't thank them enough. They've been with us since day one. As has Purdy Insurance, as has our great friends at Sunbury Motors. And we're coming up on our 10-year anniversary in 5 weeks. How about that? Well, quite a show today. Our thanks to Donnie Collins, Scranton Times Tribune, Frank Bodani, York Daily Record, Rich Scarsella, Reading Eagle, and now Nate Bauer coming up in a few moments from On3.com. Tomorrow's game, 12:05, 10:30 the airtime on News Radio 1070 WKOK. COVID continues to just play and wreak havoc everywhere. Last night's Lady Lion game against Iowa at the Jordan Center was postponed. Now, that's postponed. That's not canceled. The Big Ten is still coming up with its forfeit and cancellation policy. They don't want to forfeit any games. The Big Ten does not want to forfeit any games. So they're trying to work out the schedule to get that game rescheduled. That was last night at the Jordan Center. But, again, that's what they're working on, and that is, unfortunately, the sign of the times. You know, I go back very quickly before we get to Nate. I go back to the blue-white game in April. From that point until 2.5 weeks ago, I never even once thought about cancellations. Never. Entire football season, never thought a game was going to get canceled. Spike season, never thought a game was going to get canceled. Started the basketball season, didn't think a game was going to get canceled. Now I'm back mentally to the mode I was in last year, waking up every day saying, okay, let's see what today brings. Are we playing or not? It's just the way it is. All right, let's bring in Nate Bauer on 3.com. Always three great takes from him. Welcome, sir. Great to have you with us.
Hey, what's going on?
If I knew, I'd tell you. Seriously. No.
Fair enough, yeah. Hey, I want to give you a pre-interview heads up that we've got a special third guest in tow for today's segment.
And who might that be?
It is up. There he is. He's chiming in.
I hear him.
Young Oliver, 10 months old, and a COVID positive at his school. Not him. He is free from disease, but
contact tracing.
You know, I guess. I don't know how it all works. All I know is that having not gotten all of the Christmas gifts that I need to get, and having planned on doing that this week, him being home, not a great turn of events.
You know what? He's the best gift you got this year.
There you go. That's the spin I count on right there. Love it.
Okay? The best gift you got this year.
Fair enough.
This has been a time where people have expected the roster to be different going into the bowl game. And we know for one position, linebacker is going to be very different. Any surprises to you so far?
No, not at all. I mean, there were pretty clear undertones, rumblings, really immediately after the Michigan State game that Ellis Brooks needed surgery, I think, on his hand. He obviously had his hand wrapped for the last game, last couple of games. So that makes sense. And then Brandon Smith is a guy who, you know, I mean, even before the season, that was, I feel like I bring this up a decent amount, but I had an interview with Dwight Gault in August where Gault was really talking about how much of a athletic freak Brandon is. And that, you know, some of those guys, you get them to the combine and it's just a open season, right? I mean, they're able to make their mark by being that athletically gifted. And you know, that's the way that it's transpired. Is obviously he's made that decision, and best of luck to him.
Well, it's interesting because Jack Ham was talking, and I was just standing there as a bystander. Jack was talking with Brandon. He said, "What's your body fat?"
Yeah,
and he said 3.9% or something like that.
Yeah.
To which then I held up my hand and looked at my hand, and it's like that's kind of like the equivalent. I mean that's who he is. He is chiseled beyond words. In terms of the model as a pro linebacker, in terms of look, he's got the look.
Yep. Yep. No doubt. I mean, and look, when you're running a 4.39 or a 4.41, whatever it is. I mean, it's just he's going to test off the charts. His vertical leap is 39 inches. I mean, he's got all these ridiculous numbers in the weight room, and you know, it's a combination, right? I mean, it's not some guys have strength, some guys have speed, but Gault made a pretty direct comparison in terms of those numbers, those athleticism numbers, to Michael Parsons with Smith, and it's just like, okay, well, if that's the case, the clock has changed, right? Like our understanding of how a career in professional football should go has really evolved, I would say, over the last 10 to 15 years, to where you start to understand. I mean, it becomes very, very clear now that if the earnings clock can start when you've reached that point where you don't know, where there's no demonstrable difference between, you know, your ceiling in terms of being drafted, start the clock. Get going. Get out there. Get playing and go from there.
Well, Jack and I talk about that all the time, Nate, that, you know, you're sitting there and, you know, you come out at the age of 21. It's not, oh, you can start earning money right away. These players are now, through agents, savvy enough to know that now, at the age of 25 and not 26, they're up for their second contract, which is the one that sets them up for life. That's the clock that we're talking about.
Yep. Yep. No, 100%. And it's both, right? Like if NIL changes the landscape a little bit to where these guys can earn a little bit of money to be comfortable, and it makes sense, you know, a situation even like Jahan Dotson had this year, right, where it's the blowback in terms of money lost is not more than what you would make by having gone in early at lesser of a value. I'm talking myself into circles here, but you get the point. Is there are some situations where it makes sense, right? You can earn a little bit of coin here in college. But if you can get going and you can start the clock and get to that second contract where, you know, look, like you're either way, there's only so many miles that you can put on these bodies at this point. And once it makes sense, once you get that feedback, once people are giving you some fair and, you know, kind of unfiltered opinions about what your potential is, you follow it. You go where that leads you.
So let's get to the clock here for a moment, because part of this clock is the now 5 years of the, quote, early signing period, which has now changed, you know, decisions being made by coaches and the movement. When you've got a team like Notre Dame, for example, not knowing their college football playoff fate, even though one could guess, and losing its head coach, you sit back and go, you got to be kidding me. Really? Do they need to change the clock as to when that signing period takes place? And if so, what would your choice be?
Yeah, great question. I mean, I thought that Manny Diaz's answer the other day, somebody asked him, I think Corey Geiger asked him, you know, whether or not there's a better way to do this. And it was striking to me in the sense that you don't hear a lot of people talk about it in this term, but college football is attached to the semester system. This is higher education.
Yeah.
And so the way that the calendar works for college football is different, right? It's you have a bowl game that lands typically squarely in between the end of the fall semester and the beginning of the spring semester. So, I mean, it's complicated. I'm not exactly sure where you put all of these things so that you have, right? Like the way that he laid it out, the NFL has this system that makes sense where it's all in a line. It all, right? Like the Super Bowl ends and then you start to have this evaluation period for, the draft and the combine and all of those things all work in a simple, fairly straightforward order. That just doesn't exist. That doesn't exist for college football. And so now you're having, I mean, I don't know. What do you think the early signing period should become?
August 15th. If college basketball can do it November 9th.
Yep.
Why can't college football do it on the 15th? And then
you're saying before the senior season.
Before the senior season. These guys already know where they want to go. What evaluations change during the course of it? You have a late signing period. You can use that the first Wednesday of February. There's been an evaluation that changed.
Yeah.
I want them to structure a calendar in such a way where I'd go August 15th before the season because it's work for college basketball. It can work for college football. I also want it structured in such a way where coaches get time off.
Yep. No, I agree. I think that it's complicated.
Coaches are family men too. Let them have a life.
Yep. I completely agree. I mean, I thought that some of the answers that you heard on Friday from Penn State's bowl media were very telling. I mean, James Franklin was asked about kind of evaluating the offense, and it was his reaction. It wasn't an offense to the person who asked the question, but he was like, when would I have had time to do that, to do a deep dive?
Exactly.
Right? I mean,
exactly.
it's not possible. And so these guys, it's so funny to me because, and again, I mean, I think I brought this up to you the last time we talked. The season ends with that last game, and you think to yourself, oh,
right.
Deep breath.
And that,
nope.
Right. And that's my point about August 15th. I think now, starting August 16th, you can really lock in. Your recruiting staff can lock in on other things. You as the coach can really lock in on your team and lock in on your team for the foreseeable future instead of constantly trying to, that's why I would move it up, but it's got to be structured in such a way where there is a strict dead period that allows coaches to get away for a bit. They need time off too. So
you keep that dead period in July then?
Keep the dead period in July. Yeah, I would. As a matter of fact, I think they need. Everybody in June pretty much knows where they're going, don't you think?
Sure.
Yeah,
sure.
You look at
Penn State's run of commitments, of verbal commitments this year. I mean, you're talking about 80% of the class committed in really a 2-week span in July.
Exactly. Great point. Now I want to go to another one. A year ago on this show, right about now, I started talking about a 12-team playoff. And then about 4 months, 5 months later, all of a sudden we started hearing about a 12-team playoff. You know what? James Franklin made, I thought, a great point the other day, and I want to get your take on it. He says, you know what? The heck with it. Just go big.
Yep.
And so, you know what? Go to 16, and here's the reason why I want to go to 16. Okay, there's a couple reasons. One, fewer opt-outs. And two, guess what? You got to stay in the classroom because you need to be academically eligible.
Sure. Sure. My larger take on all of this in terms of a playoff and size of a playoff and college football's health as a sport is that so much of it has been rendered irrelevant. So many of these programs are in a space where it's just it's not even really possible to get to the playoff
right.
at this point.
Yep.
When you've got three programs who look, let's evaluate it on the whole, right? There are four spots per year. And so when you've got two programs or three programs who are filling over 6 years, more than half of those spots.
Right.
Like it's just, what is a Wisconsin to do? Like, what is the future for Wisconsin? What is the future for, all over the Washington, you name it. Like there are programs who are investing in the program. They want to play the game. They want to be part of the action. And it is, how do you recruit and get players to want to come be part of your program if that is not the ceiling? If you can't even enter into that marketplace of being part of the conversation of, oh, hey, this is a program that every year, every other year, every 3 years is going to position itself to be a part of that. The NFL does not have anything close to that type of a problem.
Right.
Right. With 32 teams,
right.
Half of them are going to the playoffs every year.
Right.
So every team gets into the playoffs every couple of years, every 3 or 4 years,
mm-hmm.
at least.
Right.
Like, you just don't have those long droughts. And so,
right.
I mean, to me, that's where it becomes even more of a problem with college football than the NFL, because the NFL at least has a draft.
Yep.
At least in the NFL, you those teams that are at the bottom or those teams that are consistently losing have an opportunity to restock their franchise with talent. That's not the case. That is not the case in college football.
Well, FCS, for some reason, has the ability to have a 24-team playoff.
Yep.
And for some reason, Montana State and North Dakota State appear to be enthused about playing a 17th game.
Yep.
Really? I mean, I thought we were supposed to be. I thought a 17th game was supposed to be just an unqualified disaster.
Right.
But no, they seem to be genuinely like you don't have players at Montana State and Bozeman and over in Fargo saying, "Oh no, it's 17. It's too many. I think I'll opt out." It's not happening. It's like,
yep.
You can come up with 1,000 excuses that make no sense.
No, it's the academic excuse has always been baloney. It just is.
Sure,
these. These players.
That's why I brought up, okay, being academically eligible, because there'd be a lot of pressure on you to be academically eligible if your team is in the playoff.
Sure.
Okay.
Sure. Yeah.
I can play the academic game too.
Right. No, it is. There are college football is a world of dogma, right? I mean, it is just these tried and true things that people hold deeply, deeply as beliefs without being willing to change, without being willing to identify what the path forward or what the future might look like and how it can be better and how it can be improved. And so until people start to embrace the reality that things can be done differently and in a better way, you're going to keep having these types of problems. But the thing that I fear for college football is this needs to happen sooner rather than later.
Yes,
like,
you're right.
The train has left the station, and you need to wrangle this and start to have some organization, start to have some structure about what the game is going to look like moving forward.
Absolutely right. Sooner rather than later. And look, you can do all the delaying tactics you want, but you know what? After a while, you're like, you know what? Guys, okay, you're not helping the game. Okay? Stop being part of the problem and be the solution. All right. Happy holidays to you and that beautiful family of yours.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it. You as well. Enjoy your time in
Tampa, and we'll catch up soon.
Sounds great, my friend. Thank you.
All right. Bye.
NateBauerOn3.com. All right, here we are. Finally, to the end of 2021-2022 at midnight. Today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Imports, domestics, microbrews, the best selection of beer anywhere. Wine coolers, water, soft drink, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day. Six great flavors of slushies in the pickle bar, led by the barrels and the dills. Indeed, second to none. Stock up now at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. And we're in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Happy New Year from News Radio 1070 WKOK.